From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the first message in a series of studies in the book of Acts. In the course of these studies, we'll learn the secret of the spiritual power of the early church, the mighty operation of God the Holy Spirit. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, If and a Triple Promise. The text is 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Called by the name of the Lord, we are nevertheless erring men and women. What a mercy it is that our God is ready to forgive. Whenever we sin, let us hasten to the mercy seat of our God, seeking pardon. We are to humble ourselves. Should we not be humbled by the fact that after receiving so much love, we yet transgress? O Lord, we bow before Thee in the dust and own our grievous ingratitude. O the infamy of sin! O the sevenfold infamy of it, in persons so favored as we have been! Next, we're to pray for mercy, for cleansing, for deliverance from the power of sin. O Lord, hear us even now, and shut not out our cry. In this prayer we are to seek the Lord's face. He has left us because of our faults, and we must entreat Him to return. O Lord, look on us in Thy Son Jesus, and smile upon Thy servants. With this must go our own turning from evil. God cannot turn to us unless we turn from sin. Then comes the triple promise of hearing, pardon, and healing. Our Father, grant us these at once, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake.
King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, and lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for the tomb where Thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded Thee whilst Thou slept. Lest I forget I forget Thine agony, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for Thee. Thou hast borne all lest I forget thy name. Lest I forget thy love for me.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Dr. Cairns continues his opening message in a series of studies in the book of Acts. the divinely inspired record of the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit in the early church. As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, the theme of the book is the acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. What happened then was because of God's intervention, not because of man's schemes or gimmicks. The first message in the series is called The Doctrine, Devotion, and Deeds of the Early Church. Indeed, the apostles and their fellow workers placed great emphasis upon doctrine, so that the early church was established firmly on the fundamentals of biblical truth. Now, with the next portion of the message, here is Dr. Cairns.
The second doctrine that you'll emphasize in this book is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 36, just for one reference, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." You remember when Saul of Tarsus was saved in the Damascus Road? He cried, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And I believe that that cry of the apostle, as he was to become, epitomizes the entire attitude of the early church. Lord, recognizing immediately the sovereignty of Christ, what wilt thou, giving utter submission to the Lord Jesus, have me to do, rendering true service to the sovereign King? Ah, my friend, there is the heart of the early church, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So many people say they have Christ as their Savior, but they have never crowned Him Lord. Now, I must be honest. I have some serious doubts as to whether people who know nothing of the Lordship of Jesus Christ know anything about the Saviorship of Jesus Christ. I have severe doubts about that. But so many people, and they say they're saved, but they have no submission to Christ. Their heart renders no service to Christ. Christ is not crowned King of their life. My friend, let me tell you, it is the mark of a saint that he is a servant of Christ. It is a mark of a born-again believer that he has crowned Christ King, and the principalities and powers of darkness have been dethroned in his life. And Christ is now all and in all, that in all things he might have the preeminence in our lives. I believe that was an outstanding characteristic of the early church. It's what we need today. How often we have sung the words, "King of my life, I crown thee now." I wonder, have we ever really meant them? Thine shall the glory be. You know, if you really mean that, that's an end of living for self. That's an end of living for gain. That's an end of your ambitions. That's an end of your plans. It's an end of every human scheme. And it is bringing you humbly, brokenly, at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ to cry out, "Lord, be King and take over my life. Grant that all I am and have will yield only glory to the Lord Jesus Christ." Another great doctrine is the resurrection of Christ. Figures very prominently. The keynote of the gospel, of course, 1 Corinthians 15 and 4. It's never preached very much nowadays in gospel preaching. I believe in preaching the blood and the cross and the atonement and the finished work. But I believe that when that's preached, it should always lead to the doctrine of the resurrection. When you read the preaching of the early church, just mark it when you read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and you'll see that they never failed to preach the resurrection. Never failed. And whatever else they left out, because you can't put everything into every sermon, no matter what else they left out, they always got in the resurrection. Do you know why? They recognized that there's a very intimate connection between power and the resurrection of Christ. Didn't the apostle pray in Philippians 3 that I might know him and the power of his resurrection? These people had fire in their heart. What was it? It was that Christ is risen. Now we all say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that." Tell me. And let's be honest with ourselves. We believe it. Does it ever fire your soul and melt your heart? It's a strange thing. It's a paradox, a sad paradox, that the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ has now become the dead letter of a dead creed. What a tragedy that the living Christ should become part of a dead creed. Oh, we believe it. Mentally we assent to it. But it doesn't grip our hearts, it doesn't fire our souls, it doesn't set us ablaze as it did the early church. There was one thing that they could never keep quiet about wherever they went. It was that Jesus Christ is alive, physically, truly, powerfully alive from the tomb. Oh, that God would burn that into our hearts. I would love that. And I trust you'll do this. I would love that every man and woman here who names the name of Christ would go to their knees in the closet with the book of Revelation chapter 1 open before them, and that they would study over that portion and get the vision that the Apostle John received on the isle that is called Patmos. There'd be many figurative parts to that vision. You'll have difficulty at first in grasping. If you study carefully, you'll get to understand it. And I'll be glad to help you any way I can. But there's one thing that will get through to your heart. And that is that Jesus Christ is risen. When John saw the risen Christ, he fell down as one dead. And then the hand of the Lord stretched out and raised him in power. God grant us to get a vision of Christ. I keep on saying it. We have so much of the rigmarole. We have so much of the ritual. We've got so much of the word play right. But the reality seems sadly missing. God grant us today to get a vision of the risen Christ. There are many other doctrines. The power of the name of the Lord Jesus. How to use it. Acts chapter 3 verse 6. Verse 16. Acts chapter 4 verse 10. Right through. Now you'll find the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil has played on the people of God the greatest con trick in history. I don't know if you realize that. How do we pray? Well, we normally have a preamble. Dare I say it, that there are more Christians take the name of the Lord in vain in prayer than you'd ever dream of. Rush into God's presence, our Heavenly Father. The words are out of us, we never think of it. That is taking the Lord's name in vain. The empty, thoughtless, meaningless use of the divine name is taking it in vain. Even in prayer. When we get stuck for a word, when we pray, what do? Wait until the Lord gives us one. No, sir, we just stick in the Lord's name. Isn't that right? And then we come to the end of the prayer. So how do we stop? We can't get stopped. So we just say, in Jesus' name, amen. Thoughtlessly. And that's the confidence trick of the devil. Because the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is our sole authority in prayer. And when we have jettisoned our authority in prayer, my friend, you can cry and shout and plead as much as you like, but when you've jettisoned your authority, you will not prevail. And there's the reason for so much powerless praying. There's the reason, because the mighty name of Jesus Christ has in some terrible way or other lost its charm and its authority to the people of God. My friend, let's realize this. This is not just a formula. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is not to be taken glibly, lightly upon our lips. Remember, it's the name that's honored in heaven. And when I can honestly pray in Jesus' name, I have the answer. When an ambassador goes from this country to a foreign country, he goes in the name of this country. And at least until fairly recently, when sad events have proved this to be no longer the general rule in America, when he went with all the military, political might of America behind him. And when he spoke, America spoke. He went in the name of this country. When an ambassador is commissioned by Her Majesty the Queen of England and goes forth, whenever he speaks, when, for instance, when the ambassador from Great Britain goes to the White House, it is the Queen of England speaking. He is speaking in her name. And he is authority. There is a royal authority behind him. When I speak honestly in Jesus' name, God hears, and God answers. It's honored in heaven, and it's feared in hell. And the devil doesn't care how long you spend if you've lost the vision of the power of Jesus' name. It's feared in hell, and it's exercised throughout the world. Oh, for the power of Jesus' name. Then the doctrine of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Person and power of God the Holy Ghost. Now I'll have to make sure I don't get started in this because we'll be here all day. What saddens me very greatly is that there was such a lack of teaching and preaching about the Holy Spirit. And there was such an evident lack of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the churches of Great Britain and America that the devil was able to get in with the counterfeit movement, the charismatic movement. I have a niece who wasn't long saved. She'd been saved out of great difficulties. And she had a burning desire to serve the Lord and to learn of the Lord. Her university chaplain was an apostate. Every church she went to was as dead as could be. She tried to get into a fundamentalist church and it was as light and frothy and all on the surface that it was a sickening experience for anybody who really wanted to do the will of God. And she said the only people who seemed to have a love for the Lord and a love for the Bible and who spent time in prayer and who sought to win souls were she was. Were charismatics. And that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. Because the Holy Spirit, let the news go out, is alive and well today. Thank God. The deity of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, he is definitely God. And he is a divine person. The operation of the Holy Spirit again and again comes out in this book. In fact, if you read carefully the very first verses of the book, what does verse 1 say? Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. In other words, what Luke is talking about is something that isn't yet completed. There is that part of the ministry of Christ which he began, something in his works and teaching, which have still to be carried on. Now, how are they to be carried on? The Lord Jesus himself said it. John chapter 14, verse 12. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How is the early church then to do greater works? John chapter 16, verses 7 and 12 and 13 tell you, I tell you the truth that is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you. These are the things that Jesus began to do and teach. But he had many other things to say to them. Many other things to do through them. But he says, ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's talking about the ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit. What he's talking about. I believe the charismatics, so-called Pentecostals, have got it all wrong. have fallen for a counterfeit. If everybody who was supposedly filled with the Holy Ghost in America was really filled with the Holy Ghost, this place would have been on fire for God and revival years and years ago. I mentioned last Wednesday or last Lord's Day, I forget which, that the charismatic people now say that there are 53% of people in America saved, born again. And an awful lot of those say that they're filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no idea. No idea. My friend, there is a real power from a real person for you, for me, and our lives for God. And what I'm pleading for today is that we get back to the real thing. And we cry that God Himself will fill us with His Spirit and use us for His everlasting glory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.